Welcome to another mini magical. Barbara and I just got in a conversation about someone we've been working with for a while, and this person really has made tremendous progress, and the principles that have applied to this person really apply to anyone. So we thought we'd record it, obviously, and so here it is for you to listen to. I'll tell you what I have seen. I keep seeing it. Is that somewhere in this process, she's going to come to the realization that she's just fine. Meaning, she's just fine now. She's always been just fine. And all that stuff that she was ever told or was ever put on her had nothing to do with who God created. She's going to come to a massive realization that who she is just perfect in front of God. And that all that other stuff was never real. I'm done with all that. She's going to rise up somehow in herself.
Kind of like reading the last chapter, why don't you just go on and get there?
I believe there will be a point come when she is going to be done with it on her own. Because what are we doing? We're working on memory. Okay, well, if you're working on memory, then you're not working on present time, obviously. So it's occurred to me several times that there's going to come a point when she's done looking at memory. Enough already. Mm-hmm. What's today? What's new? Because that's really all that has to happen. All you got to do is stop paying attention to all the old soundtracks.
Yeah.
And start looking for the new soundtracks or make them yourself. Between you and the Father, they're there. You don't have to listen to that old stuff, but you've got to make a decision of what you are going to listen to. And I know this sounds simplistic, but that's what I discovered myself. And work with enough people to have said that to them. All we're dealing with here is memory. Well, if it's memory, it's not present time. It's not even real. Well, what is real? What's new?
Is a cup half full or is it half empty?
Is it a different cup? Are we done with that cup? Are there no other glasses in the cupboard that we can put new water in? This is totally outside the box thinking, but that's what's got to happen. And then she's going to discover something else, and that is that God has made her new already. That's already a fact. But you got to step into it. What's that look like? What's that feel like? What I noticed myself is that he didn't completely alter my personality. He just refined it. He refined my character so that how my character comes out through my personality isn't the way it used to be. I still notice I still have a sense of humor, you know. I haven't lost anything other than dependence on what other people think. That was probably my greatest, not downfall, the greatest point of vulnerability for me, is I fed off other people's opinions, recognition, admiration. That's all I could ever get from my dad if I ever did something right in his eyes. And it had to be something exceptional.
Isn't it something that it's never too late to have a happy childhood?
I heard it from Mark Victor Hansen, but I don't think he made up the saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's the point. It's like, what are you focusing on? What you focus on, that's what you become. You can choose to quit being a victim and choose to be grateful and choose that. All your steps have led to today. Like you've said, you were becoming dependent on the therapist, and one day you said, hey, I'm fine. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, I'm done with it. I'm not going to come sit in this office the rest of my life talking about whatever's over.
Right.
It's over. So let's move on now. I can't get a new life by reliving the old one.
So the point is, God is making or desiring to make all things new. Well, what I saw was, one day she'll just realize, hey, I have everything I need. There's no problem here.
Yes, I'm perfect just the way God made me. So all that other stuff is all old and was never true anyway. That's what I have seen coming, is that sometime people have to come to a realization that whatever they remember, whatever system they're operating on that is all coming from memory is an old operating system, does not need paid attention to, and there is a new operating system. Paul called it old humanity, new humanity. Same deal.
Ephesians 4:21-23. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in keeping with the truth that is in Jesus, to put off your former way of life, your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds.
So what does the new humanity look like? What are the true affirmations coming from God? Not coming from inside me somewhere, but coming from God. What's he say about me? I used to tell somebody else that. You better start paying attention to what God says about you, because all this other stuff that you're all burdened by, God never said any of it. Why are you listening? Why are you paying attention to that? Why is that what's important, as opposed to the perfection that God built in you from the beginning and the love he has for you and the purpose he has for you? Where is that recognition?
And then perfect love casts out all fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. That's what you get with a relationship with Jesus, a real one. When you lay it all down, or he takes it all away, whatever, that you get to the point, it's just the two of you.
Yes, but that real relationship you're just talking about, and I totally agree with you, but that real relationship must exclude everybody from the past. Parents, preachers, teachers, I don't care who it is, professors. They didn't know the first thing. So they had really no authority from heaven to speak into your life. None. None. They were a mess all by themselves. So whatever they said to you, man, you can bet that that was not true. And that which is not true is a lie. So what is the truth? And you just said it. It's all in the Word of God. It's all what God has said about us and to us. That's the only thing worth paying attention to.
Well, and in her case, she constructed a self-protection.
Everybody does that. Everybody constructs a self-protection. I know I did. Oh my goodness. A big one.
So while he is getting her to himself, I think we're going to get rid of all that. Because the word you got this morning, whenever she's ready to come to the realization that she's fine, and we can't be assisting or enabling an old mindset, you can't tweak enough feet to facilitate somebody coming to the end of themselves and making their own decision that they're going on with God. Just as I am, I come. The old Baptist hymn, just as I am, I come. Without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, I come. And I'm sensing a real awareness today that this burden cannot be on us to overwatch her.
That's right.
And abort what God is doing just for the two of them. So today we're in the midst of progressive revelation here. You know, you can't become the rescuer without becoming the victim. If not, I mean, the whole purpose of this is God wants her to himself. Mm. Well, we cannot be found in the middle of that trying to think it or, you know, mess with the past or whatever. She's constructed this, and only each of us can deconstruct it. So that's a place where anybody else in their opinions or their assistance or whatever is clutter, confusion, and distractions. I mean, one day I'm going free. I'm through. I'm well. Now I'm going to build strength. Period. Mm. That's a decision I made. I'm not going to keep going. Mm. So I'm just saying, whatever her malady is, gratitude and being real and however she comes to that, that's going to be between her and God. We would be remiss in what God's leading us to do for this to be our issue, because all it was to speak what God was giving us and release her to the Father.
She has all the tools right now to deal with everything on her own. That is what memory reframing is for. It doesn't have to be followed as a formula. But if all you ever do is get out a sheet with those feelings on it, those emotions, and look at where you are on the negative side, and look at where you used to be, or at any point, or what you really want more of on the positive side, and make a decision. This is what has to happen. With that decision, you're going to have some kind of confirmation from the Father through the Holy Spirit that you're on the right track, Man, I've never seen it like I'm seeing it today. That scripture from Isaiah and the one from Paul about don't look back or ponder the things of the past. Well, there's a huge reason for all of that. If you haven't learned all you can learn from your past experience, God help you. Because you can't get to the new while you're still looking back there. So if she right now today is in the moldy grub somewhere, thinking about how dysfunctional she is, she's never going to be functional. God doesn't create junk. He doesn't create people who, I'm about to say something I'm not sure is true. I was going to say, he doesn't create people who misfire. He doesn't create people errantly. Do you know what I mean? He's not like a programmer that puts in an error somewhere or makes an error in the code. He doesn't do that. Well, that means you are the perfection he created in the first place. And anything else other than that is a lie. It doesn't matter what I do with feet and arms and feelings and do this, do that, think this, look there.
You bet.
None of that matters. What matters is what are you going to do? What are you going to decide? Who are you going to listen to? And when are you going to make that decision? And I believe that's where we are. And for you who are listening to this, you face this decision today, every day, really, because it's not a cruise control. You don't decide you're fine today and tomorrow you wake up fine. No, you start all over again because memory doesn't go away. It just gets put in its place, in its proper place. Thank God for all that I have learned. Now, what's today look like? What does the new look like, Father? What would you have me do today? And what do you say about me that maybe nobody else in my life ever said? What do you say? If you ever want to spend real valuable time in the scriptures, look for whatever God says about you, about us, about his creation. You'll find it all through there. Look for what is valuable to pay attention to, as opposed to what everybody else may have said to you or about you. What the hell do they know? And you know, where is it in Paul's writings where he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died?
Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
When you know Christ, when you are walking beside him, when you are filled with his Spirit, when you know what God says about you, that doesn't mean you're not going to sin at some point, which just means miss the mark. It doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake someplace. You know, it doesn't mean you're not going to get too close to a curb one day and blow out a tire. But that's not your nature. In this new humanity that Paul talks about, you are the perfection God created, period, end of story. There is nothing else to talk about. And Christ has delivered you out from under the sentence of death upon his return. It is your expectation that Paul calls your allotment, is your risen body, just like Christ's risen body. Because that's where the real perfection is. You can walk in that now, but you walk in it, as he said, you know, we look into a mirror, but
see dimly.
Yes, thank you. We have vision, but we see dimly. I forget what he says exactly. Whatever you see dimly because you're still human. You're still dying. You're in a body that still dies. And there's something about an enigma. What is that one? What does that say?
1 Corinthians 13:12. For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. But then, when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face.
The point is, you may not have clear vision right now because you're in a human body, but that doesn't mean you're not perfect. Perfect as far as God has created you. The point of this whole discussion is today, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your situation is, if you are in constant communication with God, being directed by the Spirit of God, day in, day out, if you are following along your purpose as far as you can know it, then you are not the victim of your old humanity that was raised and conditioned by people who didn't know him at all or knew him with lesser awareness than you do. So the only declarations over you or about you that matter are the ones that God declared, nobody else. I know I've told this story many times. I'm going to tell it one more time. Many, many years ago, when I was really beside myself and didn't know which end was up, a dear friend helped me using life energy balancing, and it became apparent that I was operating under a burden of perfection, if you will. In other words, if you know what perfectionism is, and you're one of those people, then you know what I'm talking about. And I grew up believing that perfection was possible and doable because that's what my dad, my fleshly father, expected of me. Now, he wasn't perfect, but never mind. He expected that of his firstborn son. And I discovered this particular time working with my friend that, as he said, you might want to rethink your paradigm here, what you're operating under. And so I went home and I looked up the word. In the dictionary, it means exactly what you and I have been brought up to think it means. But in the Greek language, there was no word, perfection. There's no Greek equivalent for it. But what there is that we brought into our language as perfection is a Greek word that means maturity. Maturity. Well, that's what every child does, grows up to mature, grows up into maturity. It allows you to make all kind of mistakes, no problem. Just as when a child learns to walk, when he takes his first stumble or her first stumble, as I know I did and you probably did too, nobody starts berating you for your clumsiness. You just got here. It's expected you're going to screw up and not figure out this balance thing right away. No problem. And pretty soon you figure out how to walk. You don't give it a second thought today. Well, that's what it's like when we come out from under all of our conditioning and upbringing, come out from under everything that people said to us, because all of it, for the most part, was about them, not us. But what is about us is what God says, and He built us perfect. He built us in His perfection, and His perfection lives in us. And Christ died to get rid of all that old stuff that we don't have to operate under anymore, which Paul calls the old humanity, where he says, put off the old humanity, put on the new humanity. I know we talked about it in Morning Magicals. Look it up. If you do nothing but look through Paul's writings, which we've just done for 84 different occasions, if you just look through Paul's writings, you're going to discover what God says about you. I promise you, you will. And what He would have you do is in there. And the reason things like put off the old humanity, put on the new, put on the panoply, be carrying out your own salvation, be ambitious to be quiet and mind your own business and work with your hands, those passages are there to give you the new, to show you what's new, because God loves you. Oh my heavens, to such an extent that He has for you a pathway to take you out from the old creation, really, and into the new. Behold, all things have come new. Those aren't theoretical. They're not just nice-sounding phrases. They're not fanciful. They're not fantasies. Those are real. Those are straight from the Word of God. He doesn't say things flippantly or for no purpose. He doesn't engage in, you'll remember what Paul calls, vain prattlings. That never comes out of God, but it can come out of most of the people you've ever known. It's not because they were evil or malicious. Maybe some were, but that's not what I'm saying. They could have been the most loving parents you can imagine, but they did not have in them the Spirit of God operating consciously. They did not know Him in the way you can know Him today. I know my parents loved me and my sisters. We are well aware that we were wanted. We were loved always. My parents loved one another. That did not change the fact that they said things to us and about us that were not true, and that we could hold against them if we were of a mind to do that. But thankfully, we have gotten the picture that God has painted. So if I ever knew the Lord according to the flesh, as Paul says, all through my Methodist upbringing, now I know him so no longer. He lives in me, and I in him. And that's new. That's all new. So I'm all new, and that's all that matters. Nothing that went before matters. As Isaiah says, don't ponder the things of the past. Is that all he says? Isaiah, don't look back. That's what it is.
Isaiah 43:18. Don't look back or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I make all things new.
Yeah. There you go. Well, that's what's happened. And if you don't know that yet, then that's what is happening. He has done it. It's not what he is doing. He's continually operating for sure. But he's already done all this. How? He sacrificed his son, for heaven's sake. For our sakes. He gave his son up to death so that we are obligated to death no longer. And then he raised him and he will raise us. This is our expectation. Why? Because he loves us. Period. And as we looked before, it's the delight of his will. He wants to do this because he just loves doing it. He doesn't call you son or daughter because you're just so glitchy he can hardly stand you. No. Quite the opposite. He loves you because he sees the perfection he created in the first place. And he's giving you every opportunity and every pathway to come into that maturity, that comfort, that well-being, and that physical, mental, and emotional peace in his presence. Because you don't have to live anywhere lower than that today. And all it takes is you making the decision to come into that. It's right here. It's right here. And it can happen with the snap of a finger. And yes, there'll be stuff you'll have to stay aware of. But what better awareness can you cultivate than to learn and get implanted in you what God says about you? How much he loves you, what his purpose is, how he's operating his purpose. There's a passage somewhere in Paul's writings we went through. Think on these things, whatever is lovely, and there's a whole list he gives. That's an instruction. Take it to heart, especially if you find yourself thinking otherwise. Because when you do, you can bank on it. That's coming from past memory. It's not coming from present time. It's not part of God's declaration over you. It's just part of what you remember. So that, behold, all things have come new. And when God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing, it's sprouting up. Can you not see it? That's stuff that's operating today. So I pray you make the decision. I pray you stay in the decision and make it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And if you have to make it 100 times today, fine. But make it and make it again. Until it becomes your way of life and you develop the awareness of living in the presence, in the peace, in the purpose, in the provision, in the protection of the one who said, let there be you. And the truth is, we perpetuate this stuff as if we never can be anything but victims. Well, no, you just have to rewrite the circuitry. If memory reframing was built for anything, it's that. Come out from under the old and come into the new. He's already unlocked the prison. Now go free. Walk free. And you can do that anytime. And I'm going to say one more time. Everything you need to know going forward is in this recording. Everything. And everything else you need to know, God knows. And he will reveal it to you.
We're going to honor that, what God's saying and doing. So to me, progressive revelation has us where we are right now, that we're each free to just love Jesus and do what he's called us to do, and we're not going to make some big problem out of anything when God says there isn't. Like, that's what I heard you say. Like, you lived in the delusion that there was a problem. You had to keep going to the counselor. We're not going to deal with problems because we're not dealing with the past anymore.
Right.
It's like kind of like Sherry said, that woman who was blaming her mother, she said, or some her ex or something. She said, well, if it had happened last week, I could understand it. But that was years ago, and I'm sick of hearing about it. Yeah. It's like either we believe God who's making all things new, or we are facilitating error. And Father, we give you all the praise and the glory. We honor you, God, for progressive revelation that, behold, you have made all things new. And we agree with Isaiah 43:18. We're not going to look back or ponder the things of the past. Behold, you've made all things new. You've given us roads in the wilderness and streams in the desert, so we'll praise you. And when Jesus called a man, he said, no man, when he puts his hand to the plow and looks back, is fit for the kingdom of God, but let the dead entomb their own dead. But you come follow me. Well, we're hearing the call today to come follow you, and we're saying yes. And Paul said in Philippians 3, not that I've already attained it, but this one thing I do, I don't look back. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And God, I thank you that you are faithful. You are worthy. You've made all things new, God. So we release, we let go of, we praise you for the journey that led us to today. But we're going to keep going with you. Though none go with us, we're going. We're going to praise you, worship you. Agree with you that you are sovereign, you are holy, you are a just and righteous God. In Romans 8:28, you cause all things. You're causing all things to work together for the good of those who love you and are the called according to your purpose. And we are. And we're saying yes to you today. Father, show us what you would have us do with every breath you give us on the face of this earth. And I thank you, Jesus, when you hung on the cross and said, it is finished, that it is. So we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus today. We love you. We worship you. We thank you for the journey, God. Thank you for all you've taken us through, for all you have prepared for those who love you. Holy Father, be with each of your children today. Just let your presence, your peace, your grace, your mercy, your spirit overshadow them. Thank you for completing the good work you've begun. And we give you praise today in Yeshua's holy and beloved name. Amen.